thank you also for resuming the meeting. We'll attach ourselves back to the agenda. Item 3, modifications to the agenda. Are there any? If not, we will proceed. Public comment, none at this time. Approval of draft minutes, and that's for October 7th, so I trust that you all have had an opportunity to review, and if so, then I appreciate a motion for entertainment.
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been properly motioned and seconded. Approval of October 7th meeting minutes. All those in favor acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Okay, motion carries. We also have followed on the consent agenda. Please review. If no items for pulling off, then we will also entertain a motion there for acceptance.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been properly motioned and seconded the acceptance of the consent agenda. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. And we have already, of course, had the conversation with David Poland, and we are at Project WASP, which we have all been briefed on. But Ron, if you'll walk us into that, and that's also where our partners at OEB will assist us with as well.
Can I just back up for a second,
sure.
Given that we've just had that terrific presentation?
Yes.
Is there anything that we as a board feel that we could do as the next step? You know, it seems like it's just such a great opportunity for us to be thinking about. So I just wonder if anyone had any thoughts or if there are some action items we can take forward on that.
Probably the more obvious one that came to mind is just around with the site readiness, along with pairing that up with the site readiness and inventory assessment that we're currently doing attached to Ron's goals and our goals that we'll be talking about. The other thing that I thought as chair was looking at the opportunity to have a meeting hosted there and to engage the partners, as Kristen pointed out, as an immediate, but we'd certainly bring that back to you all. But anything else that came to mind or resonated?
Well, the biggest thing to me is if there's any way to coordinate on some of this grant funding request, which I don't know whether that makes things better or worse. Somebody who knows more about the mechanics of those grants would have to help out on that. But if we're asking the same people for money, which we are,
then look to increase our odds with the single application.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Christina, going back to what you mentioned about the site readiness piece, the tabletop exercise, you're familiar with that, right?
Yes.
Can you tell them about that?
The airport is currently working, the city actually, I should say, is putting together tabletop exercises with those involved within the city, so growth management type, and utilities, to have a draft project run through to see how quickly they can respond and move forward, to put them in the best position to activate on business expansion opportunities. That's supposed to occur in January, if I'm not mistaken. It'll go a long way for us being able, as OEB, to be more responsive to people that are inquiring about that piece of property.
So are you participating in that as well?
It's on the airport property, mostly with city staff, internal to city staff, who would be the ones that you're working with on utilities, easements, growth management, from permitting, stormwater, to put them in the best position to respond immediately to company needs on a piece of property.
But we think that there is an opportunity for us to learn from what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And we hope that they will share those results with us so that we can use them.
Yeah, I would go from think to know, which we have learned throughout the next project that you'll talk about as well. There's a lot of synergies there, too.
Okay, right. You had a
Kim, I think we brought up just the first time the possible collaboration between Innovation Park and the airport. At the first meeting, I think the mayor was here.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important right now, with the mayor talking about the fairgrounds, with his comments about the solar energy space at the airport, and with Innovation Park getting near capacity. I think it's a timely topic to put together a multi-pronged group of individuals to come together and have a conversation about that. Mayor, I think, is a key part of that. I'm sorry he's not here. I think he's making an announcement, I think, about the fairgrounds. But that would be an opportunity that might broaden the discussion a little bit.
So what are you asking?
Well, I don't know. Maybe just take a look at it and see if, think with some conversation with the mayor, might be appropriate to determine what his thinking is along those lines.
Uh-huh.
And begin to have a conversation with city and the county. To begin to see what possibilities there might be there.
Right, I will note when it comes to project development opportunities, especially with the most recent project that you're about to discuss, the coordination amongst Innovation Park staff, OED, Florida State, myself, and the city is going extremely well, better than it ever has before. And I really think that that has been extremely productive and can only see improvements growing from that process.
That's great. That's really good feedback because we want to capitalize on that. And April, thank you for not allowing us to lose that moment and the momentum on that. So,
yeah, just, you know, yeah. Everything, the thing I think about all the time is mm-hmm. we're running out of land.
Mm-hmm.
We have aging, he said, aging infrastructure and site ready. We should have that up on the wall. That is where we are as Innovation Park.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to figure out what our long-term future looks like. To me, LCRDA is a vehicle. Innovation Park is a place. If we think about our long-term future, we have the ability to do a lot of different things if we think big and if we think long-term. And so this is, to me, just seems like a terrific opportunity
mm-hmm.
to learn together, grow together, be tied, you know, joined at the hip with the airport in terms of what they want to do and where we see the potential, because, you know, this is the only entity of its type.
Okay.
We have been successful to the point. To get to the next level for the community, we're going to have to sort of reinvent ourselves and reinvent our focus. And you know, I just think it's a great opportunity for us. We just need to keep looking forward and imagining what could be. And I'm thrilled with the presentation today. It's I have not been that familiar with everything going on at the airport. So thank you for bringing him.
So, yes, Anne.
Can I just ask a quick fat question of somebody who keeps up better than I? Where the police station is going to be has not been decided, right?
No.
It's down to two?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's somewhere in there as well, or potentially it is. So.
Okay. Again, Kristen.
Yes. Okay. I was just going to say, you're exactly right, Christina. Coordination is exceptional, and to your credit and many others, better than we've ever had. Fairgrounds aside, that will be a debate later this afternoon, I'm sure. We've had a lot of conversations about that over the years. One thing that was on my mind that reminded me of the mayor's comment about the solar around the airport when he first joined the board was that just this week we went through the first public hearing to create a land use category for the unincorporated area to accommodate large-scale solar. That could open up other opportunities for the city, Tauquin, others out in the unincorporated area, and they don't have to focus on the airport. So that's just one small piece. There's a lot of moving parts with this, but that's why I wanted to dig into what, and I love what David said about updating the rules and everything, because there have, just like we had, a lot more restrictions that doesn't make us as business friendly as we might be or might now be versus how we've been in the past. So I think that was really critical. Christina, I had one question for you, though, that was kind of my point about not sure if this was David or in your wheelhouse. The property that's across the street from the airport that's designated as a business park has got some businesses in there. Is that airport-owned property or city? That's privately owned. Okay. For
The St. Joe one?
Not St. Joe.
The airport commerce one where transient is.
Yes, that one. So that's all privately owned. I wondered if there was any other property around the airport that people might be looking at, if it's site ready or if it's privately owned. We've got a lot of different options mm-hmm. in this area, and kind of doing that inventory from government owned and private owned might be helpful as well. Is that something that's ever come up?
We do show that property. We've shown it a couple of times. It's been too small for a couple of individuals.
But it might come up in the strategic site inventory, those types of things, or is it still too small?
We can certainly work with that commercial space. We do highlight that as one of the parks near the airport. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Again, again, good conversation on that, April, and what I'm hearing, and I'm sure other governors would concur that we revisit our plan, which is actually going to be my talking points today, so you read my notes, reimagine our future of what that could be, and then that we be ready together, in essence, with our collaborating partners. So thank you all for that. So Project WASP. Again,
yes.
All brief, so yeah. Ron, just move us into it.
Yeah, so we won't jump into too many details. I have briefed you all individually. Just a reminder, it's a confidential project, and please refer to it as Project WASP or Company WASP or whatever, as hard as it may be.
I like it.
So, and after the meeting, you can ask Christina how they came up with WASP. But it's a competitive project. Multiple states are involved, including places where the company already has operations. So we have been admonished to put our best foot forward if we want the project.
Encouraged.
Okay. So they're developing new technology internally and seeking to expand their manufacturing, upgrade their factories through modernization and automation of new equipment. So it is a 10-year project, so the data that we have is 386 new jobs created over that 10-year period, a $45 million capital investment, and all of this will go to IA for their approval on January 30th, with a company decision expected potentially the first week of February. So it's going to be a tight turnaround mm-hmm. between when IA gets it and when the company has to make their decision. Mm-hmm. The ask of LCRDA is they would like the 12-acre out parcel, and I've got a map on the next slide so you know where that's at, but they also want the 4.7-acre lot that's in our state land lease that's immediately south of that out parcel. They want us to agree to allow Roberts Avenue access for truck traffic. They want us to continue to support the North Paldrock road relocation. So after we got this, I went out and had the land appraised, combined the land appraises for $805,000, and searching the archives from 1997, we paid $650,000 for just the out parcel. Obviously, we didn't pay for the lease land. In their request, they did mention they would like us to consider two options. One was that the company would purchase the land and develop the infrastructure themselves. The second option was to do something similar to what was done in a previous project, which was to have the city, develop the land, and then they would have a lease with a lease to own option. I think early on, Christine and I looked at this and assessed that we did not feel that that was a viable option for us to take on that kind of risk. Obviously, that's something the board could choose to do. But we, to this point, have looked at this as an option for the first option, which is for the company to purchase the land and develop the building themselves. So this is the area that we're talking about. So this is the 12-acre out parcel. They're expected to develop it in these three phases. This is the 4.7-acre leased land down here. It's worth noting that this 12 acres does not have any stormwater provision on it, whereas the 4.7 acres does have stormwater allocation from this pond here. We previously discussed the possibility of relocating this road, and we previously committed to supporting that idea. Obviously, that's not up to us. It's also not our investment, but we had suggested that we would support that. We have had conversations about some alternatives, and Christina can talk more about that when we get to that point. So this is sort of the phase in on the jobs. There's the 387. Over the 10 years, they've given it to us in two chunks, in 2024 and 2029. And you'll note that there's a high concentration of blue-collar positions. I'm not going to go through all of the economic impact numbers. You can see those. You've been providing with those. I just want to note that these are preliminary There's some adjustments to the data that we have to look at in terms of the phasing. I believe it's the phasing in and how all that's going to impact. But we think it's only going to go up. Mm-hmm. So. Do you want to go? You want to take this one?
So we are still in the process of putting together the project proposal for the company consideration, and we're in the very initial stages of that, probably about halfway through that piece. Right now, we're estimating, based on their application, that they qualify for 10 years of the targeted business program, which is a reimbursement of your ad valorem taxes up to 100%. That also would include development fees, too. That could have an impact of over $1 million based on their capital investment of $45 million. That does not include any depreciation that may occur on the equipment. We're also, like Ron mentioned about the pedestrian improvements, it's very important to the company as they're looking to expand how they can improve pedestrian crosswalking in there. That there are options and impacts when you look at moving that road from the Paul Dirac and closing that. So we're exploring creative options as well to make sure that we preserve pedestrian safety, but that's lower than the $4 million impact of a road closure and realignment. We have a really great working group pulled together to talk about the infrastructure needs and appreciate the support that we have from that. We've also talked with the company as they continue to develop their new manufacturing line, about workforce development options to support a talent pipeline through apprenticeships and partnerships with TCC and Lively. They're not quite ready to develop that as they're still working on that technology, but we will be there to support them and work with our workforce partners to build out that talent pipeline. From the state, this is the part that is a look that we're still refining the application process on. So this is the one unknown here. You have, they do qualify for the targeted industry job creation program. So a reimbursement on the number of jobs that is created as a result of that project. We know over a 10-year horizon, you're looking at 386 jobs. That number is being refined by the company right now. They have, that number right there is only talking about the manufacturing jobs, not on the impact of increased research opportunities that will be done as a result of that phase. Also with the QTI program, it is in 4-year increments. So this is a 10-year number you're seeing here. So we're working with the company to come up with a true 4-year number. And very similar to how Navy Credit Union worked in Pensacola, each one of those new hires and product lines were a competitive project. This, too, could be something that comes back as another competitive project moving forward. I need to make sure that I know to you, as we've been very clear with the company throughout this development of this project proposal, the QTI is set to sunset by the legislature on June 30th. Program, unless it's renewed, ceases to exist. It is a reimbursement only based on the job creation made. We've had several successes with that program. We've also had several that haven't come to fruition, but doesn't mean that that money's come out of our pocketbook. So from our standpoint, we're working with our statewide association. I've let the county and the city legislative teams know as well that this is a very important and one of the only true incentives that the state of Florida still has left to levy for job creation. We made that very clear with the company, and that's why we're making sure that that number for that 4-year jobs is accurate as we can get it moving forward. So it's just something else for consideration, because that does impact competitive projects moving forward should the state choose not to award or to continue this incentive program, which is only based on those jobs created as a reimbursement.
And theoretically, is there kind of a general idea of making assumption that it gets re-upped, what that incentive amount would look like?
Not at this point.
$1 million, $100 million?
Yeah, Ron and I went back and forth about that, and I'm not comfortable of providing that number because we're still working for it. I was hoping that we would be able to have everything updated for this meeting. Unfortunately, they're still working through that.
Again, because they have to tell us what the phasing, how the jobs are going to phase in, and I think that has an impact on, a big impact on what that number's going to look like.
And Ron's absolutely right.
Kim?
Yes,
Christina, did I miss something? If this is allowed to sunset, the QTI, anything we have agreed to in the past
will be honored.
Will be honored. So if it is allowed to sunset, is it effective beginning of July where the fiscal year starts? I mean, could Project WASP still come in under the current program, or is there a time-sensitive issue with this?
We should be okay with the Project WASP. Based on our current timeline, the incentive package will go to the IA board for approval on January 30th. We'll take that to the first municipal government board meeting that ratifies the QTI resolution, and that will get filed with the state and honored with that moving forward.
Good.
I mean, it would just be anything that comes through on July 1.
Right. I would hope they would extend it. We have very few programs, like you said, but just for this one, since it's already in the pipeline, I'm sure you have others that you're looking at.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we presented this to the executive committee a week or two ago, and this is what the executive committee approved with a preliminary proposal, if you will, that we could take to the company and discuss. We felt that we should charge for the land, but offer some incentives to go with that. So the value was $805,000. The concessions that we offered were, you know, paying some of the closing costs, offering a CAM fee abatement for 10 years, and providing some payment terms over 5 years that would save some interest on theirs. So we estimated those amounts, and it's about $213,000, or about 26.5% of the price. It gets the cost per acre down to about $35,000 an acre, total of about $591,000. So we presented this to the company, and we're told in no uncertain terms that they were expecting free. So that proposal was pretty well shot down. But again, we were told to put our best foot forward, and the feeling was that the land is state land, and that it should be, you know, given to those who are creating jobs as incentives. That was paraphrasing, but that was the sentiment. So after that meeting, Christine and I talked about a potential another option. It is just a proposal idea. It has not been vetted by Blueprint staff or the IA, but this is a proposal that we would like to take to the staff and to the IA if they agree. And that is to propose that OEV invest an amount not to exceed the $805,000 appraised value of the land, but that those funds would be used for LCRDA's capital projects that we've identified in the strategic plan. So a few of those would be things like pad-ready site development, which we were just talking about, Morgan building renovations for R&D, and lab spaces, so that as OEV is out trying to do the business development for the community and attract companies to come here, that we've got assets ready for them to market. And then any other OEB approved capital investment projects that come up for LCRDA. It would be paid over a period of years, not more than five, and then we would lease the land to WASP through 2074 concurrent with their current existing lease. And then we would also include clawback and sale provisions to make sure that the project is actually developed as they promise it will be. And that and obviously with the uncertain nature of this proposal, we'd have to have some provision to come back to the board if we deviate from any of this substantially, but also recognizing that, you know, final agreement, you know, it's going to come down to the documents themselves, which will also come back to the board. So this was just one alternative we came up with. Don't know if it's going to fly. But given that the board is not going to meet again until after the January 30th IA meeting, that we would like to at least have something that we could offer. So these are our four options. As I see them, obviously you may have come up with some others, but so we have the proposal to OEV for their investment in Innovation Park. We have the Executive Committee's preliminary proposal, which we could elect to use it anyway and let the chips fall where they may. We could do what WASP has asked, which is basically give them the land, or we could choose not to make an offer. So options 2, 3, and 4, we could do conditioned on the outcome of option number 1. If OEV and IA say no, we're not going to do it, then what's the next option that you would like to deal with? That's all I have.
Thank you, Ron. I believe that OEV, you all wanted, or Steve, you wanted to offer a comment, or Christina, before we go into discussion.
No, I'll just make one comment.
Sure.
This is a unique opportunity we have. Without naming the company, I think everybody probably knows who we're talking about. They have proven the performance in this community, having invested, having grown, having exceeded our expectations from an economic standpoint in every regard. We are in a competitive situation. This is an opportunity to prove how do we choose to compete. This is going to be, it's not the first time, but it's certainly the first time in a long time. But it's the first of many yet to come. So the key here is not just to say no, it's to try and negotiate and find out where that common point is that's acceptable to both parties. The opportunity is significant. Christina went through that. It's going to be more significant as the pencils get sharpened. So I just lay that out as an umbrella for us to consider as we go through this next stage. Time is not on our side. They've got to make a decision. There are other competing locations. So now is the right time to have this conversation. So with that, let me just stop.
Give
it to somebody who knows what they're talking about. So.
The expansion of this project here, this manufacturing project, directly aligns with the targeted industries that have been approved by the Blueprint IA Board and match with our strategic plan, and further help us establish that magnetic capital of the world claim. It's a very unique opportunity that's before us. I believe that as a result of this expansion, when it fully built out over the 10-year horizon, that you're looking at many opportunities for supply chain relocations to help support that company manufacturing needs. That also directly goes to the airport's goal that you just heard about increased cargo and international reach as well. We are working with the company as well to very clearly articulate the value that they bring as good corporate citizens to our community. They contribute a lot to the elementary school, Pineview Elementary School, to help with that build out as well. They support the FAMU FSU School of Engineering. They have several research projects here with our research institutions. So demonstrating that good corporate citizenship that they've already done and their contributions to the community too. It's a really exciting opportunity. There are a lot of decisions that need to be made, the first of which is at your door today. I want to thank Ron and for his support on this project. It's been instrumental, and I've really enjoyed working with you on that. It's very encouraging, too, to how much we are learning, too, as we go through this process, which only makes us stronger as we continue to chase these business development opportunities.
So thank you all for that, and at this time we'll
rock. Yeah, one thing, since Mr. Ramsey was not here at the beginning of the meeting, we could not do this, we do need to announce that Dave Ramsey has a conflict of interest in this matter and will not participate or vote on the issue.
I was about to make that statement.
Can you confirm that, Dave?
I can confirm that, just to avoid any possible conflict that anybody might perceive, I need to recuse myself. Accuse or recuse?
We're not going to accuse you today, though.
Recuse myself of discussion, which I'd like to have, or voting, either way.
Thank you.
And let the records so reflect.
We will absolutely note it as such. So we'll move into a conversation and discussion. And I do want to acknowledge Ron for his effort in making sure that we were all briefed fully on what our options were. And we, of course, did put forward what we believe to be our the best move that we wanted to put forward, and now we understand that now it's such much more of a competitive process. So with that said, we need to grant Ron the flexibility to be able to respond timely, realizing that should one option, whatever we decide on today, not move forward, that we have the ability to reconvene, and that be decided by way of the executive committee if that would be the motion that later comes up, just so that we can be flexible in meeting a timeline. So comments, questions? Who wants to start?
I can start.
Okay.
This certainly sounds like a unique opportunity mm-hmm. to me. I put it together with what April said. I think we are at a real transition point between these pieces of property and buildings that make up what we've focused on to try to enlarge our focus. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very critical decision. And it's a critical decision as well because it changes the nature of the park, of the physical park, and what can happen out here in the future. But it's also sort of ironic. I had been thinking about when I first became chair, we went around and met with all the electeds, and everybody we met with thought we were there to beg for money, which we were not at that time. We were trying to make sure that they knew we were here and mm-hmm. were serious. But I think the time is here for some of the structures of our county, our city, whatever, to recognize that this has been a completely self-supporting operation out here for a very long time. And if OEB is in the position to fund this, to be the funder or through the IA, I think it's entirely appropriate. Now, I would say that because I think that's sort of the obvious place for the money to come from. But building this kind of infrastructure into the park with community funds, I think is completely appropriate.
So. Others? Yes, right.
I would completely agree that.
Right,
Eric. The concern I have is, as was talked about earlier, is this concept of aging infrastructure. And certainly, LCRDA has plenty of that. And so any revenue, income, asset, et cetera, whatever you want to call it, that can be brought to bear to address that as time goes. Certainly at FSU, with MagLab's got, projects that need to be done. It's going to cost plenty of money ongoing in the future, and it's a matter of putting that together so that it will work well. So that's the issue. So I want to see this thing happen, absolutely. But we need to figure out a way where it makes sense for LCRDA because the way the structure option number three is, LCRDA apparently loses an asset that in 1997 paid $650,000 for. That doesn't seem right. We need to figure out some way where LCRDA can in some way be made whole such that you would have those finances to address other needs that it has.
I think this is a wonderful opportunity. I don't hear of many chances for Tallahassee to gain this many jobs, and it's certainly a diamond that we can show to other communities. So the value of it, I don't think, can be understated. I think it's a win for the community that we desperately need after a lot of years of trying to get some big wins. So somehow the community needs to find a way to do this, to make a very competitive offer. I share all the board's concern that we are facing a cliff, a financial cliff that will occur in a few years where we have leases that were ridiculously, in my opinion, ridiculously negotiated to get people in the door, and now we're stuck. We're going to face that cliff in a few years when their lease drops dramatically. The DOT lease.
Yeah, drops $100,000 a year for 5 years.
And that's in 2023?
22.
So, you know, we cannot afford to operate. We are operating as a not-for-profit, but we can't operate in the red. And so we have to find ways that we can afford to continue to run and perform this important community service that we provide. I think it's beyond this conversation how that comes to pass, but I do think that it is to the community's tremendous benefit, and that's why we have OEV. You know, that's why we have an entity, an economic development entity, to help with these sorts of projects. I wish that we were in a stronger financial situation long term. I mean, we're okay, but every time we give away a major asset, we'll be left with 14 acres.
About 15.
About 15 acres left in the property, and we have a ton of aging infrastructure that we've got to figure out. So, you know, I hope that we're able to go with, you know, option number one, and that OEV will be able to figure out a way to work with us on that, as we are, you know, and we give everything we can possibly give to make this happen, because I'm so excited about the potential. I don't want to see this community lose it. Whatever we need to do, if there's anything else we can do to sharpen our pencil, I think that's great. You know, maybe we go to OEV, and if they can't fund the whole thing, we look at some slightly smaller, but I don't think we can afford to stay in business if we give everything, you know, if we were just to give everything away. Number three seems like a non-starter. It's not good for them. I mean, I always say to people, you want to pay us our fees because you want us to stay in business, right? So just the same is true with LCRDA. If we're going to stay in business, we need people to pay us for the value that we bring. So, you know, that's my thoughts.
Thanks, April. Others?
Just picking up on that point, I think for your firm paying you for the services, you want to stay in business, and that is a strength. Here, our ability to invest in the park, say, opening a great trail. Congrats on yesterday. Couldn't be there. You sounded good on the radio this morning, too.
I complimented you.
Well, thank you. They didn't
hear that. You sounded even better. You sounded even better now, right?
I appreciate that. But we need to be able to invest in the park. I mean, that your comments are right on, and I think that's of interest and benefit for all the tenants out here. So the other thing that stands out, and you hit on this, is that we only own two parcels outright. So this has been a substantial, I guess I'll almost say a talking point for years, that while we may not make as much money off of state-owned property and things like that, this was one asset that we could really look to. I do, Christina, very much appreciate you and Ron working together, and just to double down on this, in the past, negotiations have gotten really complicated and confusing, and it feels like, just from the briefings, this one has gone much better and much quicker than we have in the past, so well done for where we are at this point in the process and moving forward quickly. Definitely see a huge shift from the past, so appreciate that. And I would hope the OEV Blueprint Board would be open to this option. It is generous in a way to get there, but also value-added for OEV's goals. Mm-hmm. So I think that is good. For where we go from here, I guess I'm wondering the options and, you know, conditioning on option one, that would resonate with me to give us that ability to go to the OEV board. For number two, could we come back to either the EC's original proposal or a modified proposal? And this, again, is bouncing off April, what you just said there at the end, that for whatever reason, if the OEV board got partway there, three-quarters of the way there, would there be some other recommendation from the executive committee or the board that may not give us everything we need, the full 800, but a portion of that as a incentive to the company? So I'm just wondering if we can do option one conditioned, or option two conditioned on option one, but also giving the executive committee or board the time to refine that proposal. Is that kind of where
I would say it's chair, yeah, because of this short timeline that we're dealing with and the ability to be flexible, realizing that it sounds like, just from what I've heard, and certainly others can chime in on their perception, and I'll offer mine as well, that number one is the most attractive option. Again, others can weigh in if there's a different opinion on that, but we also need to be flexible in that we do absolutely want this to happen. We believe it's absolutely beneficial for our community, and it needs to. So in order to do that, we would need to have a combination of one being first and then prioritized second, with the executive committee coming back to the table. Okay. Keith or Kevin?
Yeah,
anything that you want to weigh in?
Okay. I would agree with the comments that are made. I think for us as a board, it's all about sustainability. Mm-hmm. It's preserving our assets to leverage later on, to provide a positive return on those investments. So I'm in favor of option one, and possibly, depending on the terms and conditions of the original proposal, if we're able to go back and tweak that to where it's going to provide some benefits for us. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, our assets are land, they're not making it anymore, and I just don't see us giving it away.
The comments that have been made, I'm in agreement with.
Okay. And Mayor, I know you're just chiming in, but you know, yeah, I've been lost in the conversation.
Yeah, first of all, I apologize for being late. Pay attention to something else this morning. And I don't know exactly where we are in the conversation, so let me try to just follow the conversation for a second. If I could full comment, that'd be great.
Okay.
Where are we right now?
So we have provided the governors with an overview, walking through all the steps that have been taken to date relative to Project WASS. Each of us have had a debriefing, so what Ron has laid out for us today, the four possible options, and each of us had the opportunity to talk about, you know, the reasons, pros and cons, and where we would most likely land in general consistency thus far is option one with a combination of option two.
Remind me the details of option one. I'm a little scatterbrained right
Okay,
now.
Option one allows and requests the investment OEB, $805,000. We actually have it posted up there for you. We
correct.
Just did. Yeah, where LCRDA would receive dollars back for providing the land. Realizing that, one, it's in alignment with the priorities expressed by not only OEB, but also BIA, but also even with the LCRDA in terms of how we continue to operate.
You will probably remember that we have a cliff in 2022 where a ridiculous lease negotiated 20 years ago.
Correct.
We begin to lose $100,000 a year. We only have a couple of parcels left. Mm-hmm. We have aging infrastructure. As we look, as we talked about in previous meetings, a long-term vision and how we might regroup, we need to have the ability to be sustainable. And so if we were just to outright give that land, we have now lost a major asset, and we don't have any way to recover any dollars from that. Now, the community benefits, and if the city and county said, you know what, this is great, we're going to help rebuild buildings, we're going to, you know, et cetera, that would be a different conversation. But at this point, we are facing a fiscal crunch as we are trying to do a lot of exciting things in the park. So, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, this is a major community win for not just Innovation Park, but for the entire community. And, you know, look to OEV to the extent possible. This would be a huge feather in their cap. It would be a huge feather in the whole community's cap. But we also can't go under. And that's sort of the...
Can I say one thing?
Yes, Steve.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And Christina.
I don't think anybody at this table is thinking about feathers. It's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. All of us. Let me just stop right there. Mm-hmm. We spend too much time worrying about who gets credit. This is really an issue. It's the right thing to do for this community for the right reasons. We just happen to be the people that hold the capability to do it. Is that a fair statement? I come from too many other conversations where people worry about who gets credit.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that. I'm saying the community as a whole. This is big for us.
This is the right thing. Yeah, sorry.
No, Christina.
Just a reminder of what that economic impact is to our community. You're looking at, as of right now, these are estimates. We estimate that they will be revised up based on new job numbers that the company is working on. You're looking at a $212 million economic impact, 386 jobs over 10 years, and a $45 million in capital investment by the company over the next 10 years. As I mentioned, we expect those numbers to be revised as they include the R&D arm as well.
Okay, thank you. Kristen.
One specific question I didn't get to ask in our call about the executive committee proposal, and that was the stormwater credits, no stormwater credits. So this has been one of our challenges with the stormwater ponds, and we had always talked about that 12 acres maybe utilizing the pond on this side of the park. So is that anticipating that they would have to deal with their own stormwater? Because that gets to our ability to develop the other acreage.
Yes. Yes, for the 12-acre out parcel, it assumes that they would deal with the stormwater. However, OEV negotiates that.
We're looking at doing it, like I said, the city, with OEV, Innovation Park, and FSU sitting around the table as the work group together. Yeah. We've looked at several options from this, and the road, and pedestrian improvements. The stormwater will occur on-site. They do know that as part of the targeted business program proposal, they do get reimbursed for all their development fees, 100%.
Okay. That's great. I think they spent more time on crosswalks and roads than stormwater, but that, you know, having money to invest in the park is a critical piece, but also having the land use issues addressed so we can develop the remaining property would be critical. I think that's it.
Okay. And Tom.
So, Christina, remind me, if we move forward with option number one, does this come before the IA for a formal vote?
It absolutely will. On January 30th, we will take it to the board.
Okay. And, of course, Christina and I would go to the mat if that is the decision of this board to go with. However, I personally do not want to take the option of transfer of title of the land to the company if that does not go through as a second option. And I think it's worth a further discussion if the OEV option does not come to fruition. I think that this is a huge win for this community. I think that there are other opportunities to bring the community partners to the table if the decision to move forward with the transfer of land for this expansion to take place that can help us restructure our situation out here and move forward when the lease comes up. But I don't want to take that off the table at this point. I think it's a fair move to go forward with OEV. I actually feel pretty comfortable that Chris and I can carry the water and get a positive vote at the intergovernmental agency. However, if it doesn't, I don't want to take that option off the table.
And tell me again, which option do you not want to take off the table? Ron, if you'll put the options back up there so that we're all on the same page.
Would be whatever a final agreement would be, but the transfer of the land, give them the land.
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because... Okay.
A sublease, dollar lease, whatever, you know. I understand it's our asset. I understand how valuable it is. I also understand, having lived in Tallahassee for 47 years, it's never been sold or developed or whatnot, and we've got a great opportunity to bring this expansion here, and maybe it's going to force us to think outside the box about our future resources here at the park and how to move forward, and maybe we do need to lean in a little harder with our community partners. But I don't want to lose this deal just because of the fact that we are unwilling to entertain that option if option number one does not go through.
Okay, so a possible vote, and then before we'd all make the decision on that, is that we would be open to coming back to the table. The executive committee would reconvene. I guess not limited to one of the said options up there, but Eric.
Yeah, kind of dovetailing on something Christine said, it's very clear that with the number of potential jobs that would be made, there is going to be a huge increase in cash flow coming into public coffers. So it really isn't an issue whether there would be money available to compensate LCRDA for, as April clearly indicates, his extreme need that on its own. It just may be a matter of time and cash flow sort of situation. So, and now whether or not the option number one encompasses all the potential ways that things could be brought together, I don't know. But if in 5 years LCRDA has needs for infrastructure improvements, it would be good to know that there was a commitment somewhere that would be paying off or could begin to be paid off in order to be able to provide those funds for that type of work. So I would hope that someone would understand that the whole purpose for doing this is to create more jobs, which of course creates more activity, more tax dollars, etc., that some of that would work its way back to LCRDA in order to make this make sense for LCRDA. And so consequently, at least for option number three, I don't, and someone mentioned this is a negotiation, I don't think we should have, that should require something. This is our one and final only option. It should come back to the board at that point after all these other concepts are exhausted. And in part because the other concepts are far better than that option, but also to indicate if it is a negotiation that we're not talking about that right now.
Okay. Question.
Mm-hmm. John, you remind me of what my second point was, and I appreciate this. Yes, if you and I were in support here, we're going to do our best at the OED to push it forward. But Anne, you mentioned earlier going and meeting with all of the other commissioners and mayor a few years ago. I would just stress that this is one of those times where, as chair, Ron, whomever, leaning in a bit for our 10 colleagues, and I'm not sure the specific example of Innovation Park running without any investment, and we've made, OED has the one commitment for the incubator grant. Should we receive that from EDA? Other than that, and I'm going to use your phrase, we have been thinking out of the box for a long time trying to rebuild this organization from a really challenging and difficult position.
Right.
So to do that without going and asking for investment from city, county, or the state is pretty critical. And reminding people of what that story is and reminding people that, and that goes for community partners as well. I'd see the chamber, I'd see other types of partners. Really reinforcing that message before January 30th could really help us, help OED staff get this in the right posture.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about that increased revenue, Eric, that you mentioned, that it's not necessarily coming into the park, but it's community-wide, and this will help us further expand the resources at the park if we had that investment. The only other thing I'd say about the negotiation in option number three is, I think this is a negotiation. I guess that's where I kind of lean into that. I don't want to lose it either, John. I mean, it's a difficult one. We don't want to lose the option, but I think the park has the right to be in a position of strength, that we have value added for the community and for businesses that locate out here. So at least coming in strong with that position, even if it's still a negotiation and it's not what option two looked like coming out of the exec committee, I think that should be our starting point before we get into any other discussions, option three or others, at least working our way through that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to just weigh in and say I support that option number one, but I'd also just throw out a little caveat as far as the negotiating goes, and that is if the increases that are going to be made as adjustments to the figures are all going to be in the R&D area, I would argue that some renovation of the Morgan Building might be an appropriate quid pro quo with the organization view to see if that might be a possibility.
The good guy, right.
Might be a rationale for them that's more attractive than putting in a dollar per acre.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, again, without just to try and summarize, and of course we'll entertain a motion to move us forward on this because this is an action item. it sounds like, again, a consensus on one, but it sounds like the group would like and feel better that if it were brought back to the full board, should we need to make another decision or weigh in with another option, and that we realize that it would be an emergency meeting, and we would all be buying into that right now.
Yes. Christina, what is the due date for the proposal?
We will submit it immediately following the blueprint. Email that was been approved and signed off. So probably Friday we'd sit down with that.
So that therein lies the problem. We
Friday
will know
was the date of that.
Friday would be
the 31st. So here lies the problem. They're going to approve something in IA on the 30th and execute something with the company on the 31st. The board would not have an opportunity to meet again.
We can do an emergency meeting. I mean, if we went ahead and calendared the date as a tentative.
On the 31st?
Yeah, go ahead and hold it. It's on everybody's calendar. Yeah.
Certainly wait till the afternoon.
Okay, that was my concern, is to make sure.
Yeah.
And one clarification, if the IA were to approve the proposal that included number one, then we wouldn't need to meet.
No, we'd cancel.
Moving forward, you're
correct.
Executing it. But if the IA did not approve that, you could not execute something with them because LCRDA's piece of the puzzle still hasn't been resolved. Is that right? So you would need us to meet before you execute.
It would determine on what the IA board ultimately approves and doesn't approve. So if
that's my point. For number one, I mean, that...
If the $800,000, exactly to your point, the $800,000 was not approved by the IA board, then... that would be a decision that would come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But and then if the IA did approve the targeted business program and the QTI match, I could still move forward with that component
correct.
Of the package.
Correct.
Which is the land would come back to you.
Absolutely.
But if nothing got approved, then nothing moves forward.
Right.
But my point being, because the land is a critical component of this negotiation, it's a partnership between LCRDA and OED. Even if you told them, hey, QTI and TBI are fine, they're still going to have that big question.
Correct.
So they have deadlines as well.
Exactly.
And moving forward, we would, okay. I just wanted to clarify that there's a piece of this puzzle on their end that they need a decision.
You would need to meet the next one.
Okay, so we'll calendar that meeting, John, yes.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. In anticipation of the IA meeting, Melissa, question for you as the attorney of this board, okay? When we get into the private negotiations, obviously, of what this board is trying to do, what are the ramifications of sunshine laws with Kristen and I, since we'll be voting on this board together?
I actually looked at the conflict rule this morning to make sure, and you're excluded to the extent you're acting in your capacity as a governmental agency.
Okay.
So as long as you're not getting some other private economic benefit, like you're an investor in
right.
For instance.
So here's the question, like right now, we're technically like in a closed door session, right? Because we're talking about confidential information.
You have a different question than conflict of interest. You're talking about confidentiality in the negotiation.
The negotiation, correct.
Yes, and my understanding is there is none.
Okay, so here's my question. I want to make sure that we're legal.
And we are on the record. We are recording.
Yeah. Sure. I want to make sure that we're legal and legit moving forward. This is too big to mess up. I want us to figure out exactly who the players are that will be presenting this item at the January meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, I know you'll be involved. Ron, you'll be involved. Kristen, you'll be involved. I will be involved as members. So what I am suggesting is that we call a special meeting of at least the four of us or whoever else will be participating in that IA meeting, make sure we properly advertise and everything so there's no sunshine violations, but we have an opportunity to sit down and strategize how that presentation is going to go at the IA meeting to make sure that it is locked tight and ready to rock and roll. I don't want us to just get up and you do a presentation, then Chris and I kind of pick up the pieces. Let's make sure that everything is ready to go. So whatever we need to do legally for, I guess, an ad hoc committee project WASP to be able to talk before that IA meeting, that we can do so. Does that make sense?
I think it does. What I want to clarify is the purpose of the meeting just simply to have another opportunity to gather to be able to prepare for the IA meeting?
Correct.
Or is it that you want that special meeting to be somehow protected by confidentiality provisions? If it's the latter, it's more difficult.
No, I don't think
just
at that point it's just talking about how are we going to present the item at the IA meeting and make sure that we all have our defined roles and the bullet point. Like Kristen, there'll be certain bullet points you want to bring up, and I'll bring up bullet points to complement what you say, just so that we're all organized because this is an incredible opportunity to land something great, and the vote hinges on it. So Absolutely. Let's make sure that we give it our best shot. So I'm proposing that before that meeting, after the holiday break, before the IA meeting, whoever's going to actually be participating in that presentation and discussion, make sure, Melissa, we go through the legal hoops to properly notice and everything so that we can actually talk about it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Kristen? Yes.
And I'm sorry, just to piggyback on this, it has been, I guess, typical at OEB for you, Christina, or others in the past to give a presentation. That worked well on the grants, the match funds for that. We're only two of 12 members, so this may need to be other conversation, but I'll say it, that I think it is beneficial to the full board to hear from partners who are making the ask and not just staff. So this, I mean, you've done a great job, so that's not a comment there, but I like where you're going with this, but I do think it is beneficial, not just in briefings, but to hear directly from Ron or, you know, mm-hmm. about what the proposal is in partnership with OED. So I'm liking this idea.
Let me put it in a different scenario. Because of Sunshine, I cannot just call up Kristen and say, let's go to lunch, let's make sure that everything is on track and that we got all of our points in order before walking into the meeting to present this as members of this board. But we can have a publicly held meeting, go through all the hoops of Sunshine so we're not in any violation, so that we can sit down and organize to make sure we've got the best presentation above and beyond what OEB is going to be presenting.
I don't know if you've had a chance to consider this yet, but would you be participating in this publicly noticed meeting in your capacity as a governor for LCRDA mm-hmm. or in your capacity on behalf of the city and the county?
That it would be a legal question that she would need to talk to the county attorney, and I would talk to the city attorney.
We're members of the board here.
Right, but, and that's the purpose for the meeting mm-hmm. is to prepare mm-hmm. on behalf of the presentation for LCRDA, not in your
Absolutely. And to hear if anything has been updated or changed, we may have new numbers on R&D by that point,
yes,
things like that, just so that we're all on the same page. That would be a deeper dive than our blueprint OEB briefing where we cover the entire agenda.
Right.
That's,
We expect those new numbers will be submitted tomorrow or Monday.
Okay. Sure. Okay. But you bring up a great point, and we will check with our respective attorneys to make sure that there's no conflict with that, because once we walk into that IA meeting, while we are members of the Innovation Park, Research and Development Authority Board, we will be participating in that meeting actually as voting members of the IA, advocating because of our positions on this board for the vote.
As Melissa said earlier, and we've been through this on a few other votes I've taken.
I agree. I don't think there's a problem, but we can run it up.
It's our official capacity.
Okay, April, then Ann.
I would like to say that as we are looking at this, I would love it if we had a clear negotiation strategy.
Right.
If this is not, if they are not willing to help us on the 800,000, and we say, so therefore we may need to have another option, we need to explore what that other option looks like. What could be done from a creative financing standpoint so that at the end of the day, we're not a big net negative, because this is all we have. You know, if we can't figure out something for the long term, mm-hmm. we are putting future board members in a very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were able, not to overcomplicate it, but if we were able to say to the IA board, okay, if you're not going to approve this, then would you approve something more, you know, give them a specific ask or a specific formula that would make sense for us, that would allow us to not be in a net negative situation.
So you're saying be prepared with the what gets us there.
Right.
Okay.
With IA.
With IA, to be able to get some sort of a commitment long term, or at least an agreement in principle, that as we try to move forward in the next 5 years, we have something, you know, we're able to move forward. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
And Ann, and then Steve, I'll get you.
So I think this is a great conversation. I'm going to have to leave a little bit early today for another meeting. But further as to the public meeting communication, and what Kristen has said and the mayor, I think it's going to be really important for all of us to work this to the
mm-hmm.
extent we are able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is communication that has to occur
mm-hmm.
about who needs to be talked to, Ron can tell us that.
Absolutely.
You can't tell us that,
mm-hmm.
but Ron can, and I think that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, just by the, I'm sorry.
Kevin and Steve.
So this conversation has dealt primarily with one important aspect of the transaction, which is the land, but there are other elements as well. How challenging is that chessboard to get to the finish line? Because as the mayor points out, this is critically important. It needs to happen. It's for the good, Steve, you pointed out, this is the right thing to do. There's, whether it's stormwater or that access road or other issues, how much more challenging is the chessboard to get to the win?
We met with the company, with Ron, last Friday and had that discussion about the road realignment and the impact that has at $4 million and the other possibilities of pedestrian improvements and parking lot options and the way the shift works. So we have gotten very creative to reduce that $4 million price tag, and right now we're settling around pedestrian improvements.
Okay.
So that piece of the puzzle has been solved. Upon the conclusion of this meeting and your recommendation today, we will finalize the local component of the project proposal piece. The last outstanding piece is the state's commitment on the 80% match for the QTI. As I mentioned, the company is going through some revisions to revise those job numbers. And once that has been done and we know what those pieces are, we will have a proposal built and put together that goes before our competitiveness cabinet, who takes a look at that. That membership includes the city manager, the county administrator, and the chairman of the EVLC, which is Mr. Evans. And they will take that proposal to them, receive their input and feedback, let the company know where we're moving, and then it will go before the IA board for approval. So those are our next steps moving forward over the course of the next 30 days, probably 25.
I would imagine, too, you will have a unanimously enthusiastic recommendation from that board.
I would imagine so, yes. They've been kept apprised of the progress. The work group comprised of Florida State, at, Innovation Park, and the city and OEB has gone tremendously well. We have learned a lot in that process as far as the importance of being site-ready for a lot of these conversations. And which is why that's included in here as part of the what the investment from OED could include moving forward, making sure that the remaining parcels here are pad ready. It makes our future conversations with companies and yourselves a lot quicker.
Steve, thank you. Want to offer a comment, and then Ron, and then I will see if we're prepared to take a stab at a motion.
Mine will be real quick. For Kevin, to answer your question, this has been going on, the intensity of the negotiations have been going on for several months. And a lot of moving parts in there. To answer your question, what's the plate going to look like? So I just share that it's more than just one or two elements. April, when you asked, I just want to clarify from my standpoint, you said if the 805 or whatever the number, 805,000 does not come through, if they don't come through, who is a they you're referring to?
OEB? That if we are not able to, I mean, we have.
If we OEB, go ahead.
Correct. My understanding is that we have a parcel that has a value,
right.
And if we are not able to work something out so that OEV can somehow make us whole on that parcel through the 5-year payback that we talked about,
right.
Then what other creative options are there for
Fair
us?
Fair enough. I just want to make sure that they know that, because we know where they are.
Okay.
But we got the they figured out, so then Ron. Yeah.
So I'm trying to get my head around what we're actually going to be presenting to IA. So this is one option, and even this is in somewhat vague terms. There's still a lot of details that have to be fleshed out in terms of, you know, what are the specific provisions on the clawback, for example, other things like that, that you're not going to see that before we present that. I think we need some latitude to work together to come up with that.
Of course.
To work with council to put some very specific definitions around all of this.
Absolutely.
That's one part. The other part is going to what you were saying, April, about having other options. Okay, we don't have any of that here to vote on.
Right.
How do we...
It would yet be another emergency meeting.
So there almost have to be a meeting before the meeting.
Or the executive committee is empowered to consider it.
Yeah. Yes, Kristen.
Two things. I have a similar concern of just how do we get to that other option, mm-hmm. and quite bluntly, with due respect to all of our colleagues, the OEV blueprint meeting is going to have a lot of different issues on it in January. Uh-huh. So it may not be the time to dig into a lot of different options. I don't know if everyone would be as up to speed.
Right.
So that's one concern. But based on the mayor's suggestion for the meeting, and Melissa, your clarification that that was on the presentation to OEV, I think that meeting with the additional information, you all working out, the clawback, everything like that, really understanding what OEV is willing to bring to the table for the January meeting, it may be that there, in that presentation, we could acknowledge, if this doesn't happen, Blueprint or Innovation Park Board will meet tomorrow, the 31st, yeah. and we're going to have some tough decisions to make about this and just share some of those concerns, so it's not... I don't know if we have enough to get to specifics, but we could have in those talking points what happens next if this isn't approved, should that be necessary. And that may give our board the time to ask more questions about it that time. I'm just not sure we can bring anything.
Your point being, and I get that as well, that we could come together, convene in advance of the meeting and spend a whole lot of time on what options could be, but we won't know what the other ask or anything else until the BIA meeting.
Right.
So
I think
literally the best time would be the day after, which we're going to go ahead and calendar. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In terms of options, apart from one, what you're really looking at is probably some kind of a revenue stream. The question is when that might happen. And I would imagine that LCRDA would be in a position to be able to wait until these job creation has occurred. So there is a new revenue stream to compensate LCRDA, could be 5-10 years down the road, I don't know what. But
I like the 5 years. We have aging infrastructure too.
Yeah. Well, I understand. And so the point is, if money up front or commitment up front wouldn't fly, having the options to figure out some creative way to make it, it happen in an alternate way in as quick a time as possible.
Just to respond to that, mm-hmm. the concern is that asset, once this deal is done, is locked up. Okay, so even if it produces nothing, it's locked up. We can't do anything else with it. So I would think it would make sense to get the revenue as quickly as we can get it, within reason, obviously.
Absolutely. So again, lots of great conversation and dialogue, and we will, of course, get a chance to talk about it further. So is there an opportunity? Someone will take a stab at a motion?
Move option one.
Okay.
May I? We had talked about option one or option two conditional on option one, or should that be framed as option one and we will meet on the 31st if option one isn't approved or if there's modification? That way we don't have to do a conditional. I'm just looking for direction. So it's,
you accept the friendship.
It's moved option one and with that addendum that we will meet if option one isn't fully approved by OEV board.
Okay.
We just needed that caveat because it wasn't simply option one, right?
Right, correct. Yeah. So we have a motion. Did you capture a motion and a second? Okay.
With the understanding that staff and OEV and council can work on the specific terms of what option one actually includes.
Okay.
Yes.
No qualms, concerns with that. We'd expect it. So motion and a second. All those in favor, please acknowledge with the sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition. Okay. Motion carries.
One abstention.
And with one abstention, absolutely.
Boy, you don't realize how hard it's been for me to sit here.
I think that everybody.
I felt it through the chair. I'm like, quit. No, just messing with it. Okay. So, but again, this is a big deal. So I thank you all for your deliberation on that, Machine. And I know Andy have to leave. So
can I just say one more time?
Absolutely.
They did a great job at our trail opening yesterday.
Yeah.
It was like a small thing, but it was a big thing. It was like, I can't believe this cost almost $200,000, but there it is, and it really, I think, is a first step toward
more of this placemaking stuff. It's going to be more of what we're going to be doing going forward. So
great work, great milestones. Thank you for representing us. Yes, absolutely. Same to you. And certainly you all, we appreciate, but I know that you can depart if you like. Yeah. Okay, we will.
I have one other item that is related to that.
Sure.
I apologize. We didn't really add it to the agenda, but part of this, we don't need to do this part. Part of this that we had discussed was adding the 12 acres to the PUD and the CNR. Mm-hmm. And these are, I just tried to list some of the reasons why we want to do this, but even with the growth management folks, the one item in particular is that the amount of green space required in the zoning versus the PUD is less, which helps the company a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's not, I think, a primary concern for us, but also our ability to collect CAM fees, having a single development standard, not you know, city on one side, us on the other. That's the whole reason for having the PUD. Right. I know we've discussed this in the past, bringing those 12 acres in. So what I'm asking is approval to amend the PUD and add the 12-acre out parcel subject to its requirements, and at the same time doing the other amendments that I need to do to the PUD to make them consistent with the CNR, and then also to subject the 12-acre out parcel to the covenants and restrictions that only requires a vote of the board and filing of the appropriate instruments in the public record. So that's all I'm asking at this point. To amend the PUD, obviously, I'd bring that back to you. You know, once we have the formal amendments drafted. But in the meantime, I'd like to go ahead and get that the paperwork filed to add it to the covenants and restrictions.
Okay, so staff is asking for to complete the paperwork. So is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, properly motion and second. All those in favor, please acknowledge the sign. Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. We'll jump quickly back to our agenda if there's a quickly in this meeting. Item number 9, Executive Director Goals, Annual Evaluation. You all may recall we're looking at our 2019-2020 goals. There are two versions. One that takes into account the feedback that came out of our Executive Committee where we asked Ron, and I've had a chance to look at it as well, to provide specifics in terms of what the goals would actually be, quantify where appropriate, identify if there was a deliverable, and we have done just that. So, Ron, did you have something?
Basically, this is nothing different than what you have in your, okay, your pack. I just thought it might be easier to,
okay,
take it one piece at a time. So what we did is we structured these goals around the strategic plan. So rather than create a whole different structure, mm-hmm. So we have the five areas of the strategic plan, which I know you're familiar with. So again, for the incubation and entrepreneurship development, keep in mind that these goals, while they're my goals, they're also my staff, the goals of my staff. So you'll hear reporting from them when they do their bit to talk about these things. But so obviously we've got to get this incubator moving. We've got the beginnings of it. We've got the building, but they're still working on the marketing pieces. And the big goal is that we have five new members in the incubator by the end of the year, in the fiscal year. I'm committed to Kim that I will have this nonprofit application done by before I go on vacation after next week.
Yep.
And I'm still trying. And then we have some other things we need to do to fill out the incubator, and Michael is in the process of, he's already, I think, applied for $175,000 in grants in that ballpark, but the goal is to raise $200,000 in funds for the incubator operations and programs, and then further developing and refining those programs, as you see are listed there, with some specific numbers on attendance and those sorts of things. So the goal asset maximization readiness, these are things, again, in the strategic plan. We're talking about what are we going to do with the Knight building now that it's we've moved out of there. And then the plan for the future land use. This goes back to what I was bringing up about the tabletop exercise. This is a starting point. I've also teed up with Morbass, with Rick Moore, to come in and talk to us about the planning and the kind of planning that he gave a little speech at the airport, same kind of thing. So we'll try to tie those things together. We're in the process of developing an inventory list of park assets, and actually Denise is working on putting that on the website. And then again, the CNR and PUD alignment, which is what I just was talking about. And then also, again, in terms of when we talk about marketing the park, the amenities of the park and service offerings are a big part of that. And Denise is working very hard on some of those options. One interesting one we kicked around was an affinity program of trying to find a way to tie together these amenities around the park. Many are FSU amenities, but how can we package that in a way that if you're a member of Innovation Park, you have access to something or a discount or something like that. So we're going to work on that. This is, the comprehensive marketing plan. You've seen that, you approved that, and Denise is in the process of implementing that. Again, the big goal is for us to attract one new company. I should have put / expand one new company. Then we'd be done. But anyway, I shouldn't count my chickens yet, actually. This is the big thing, which is you heard a lot of that conversation today with OEB and how we're going to partner together.
Yeah.
Because they're our business recruitment arm, and we have the assets. So how do we work together to make sure that when we have opportunities that we can move forward with those? And we've got a good start, but there's some things we need to work on to formalize that process and make sure we have all the supporting market materials, documentation, whatever, to put a unified face on that business development and not look piecemeal. So that's a goal. The end result being we recruit one new company. And then the partnerships and collaborations, which is, again, that was a big part of what we're trying to do today. We clearly have more things that we need to work on to make that a reality. This was the first step is, how do we get that collaboration with the airport? And then identify two other opportunities to collaborate that supports the mission of the park. And finally, I know there are opportunities out there on the resources, and we really have not pursued grants outside of what Michael does for incubation, but I know there's some infrastructure grants that we can probably go after, whether it's planning, infrastructure, what have you, that fits in with some of the things we're trying to get done. So we will pursue those. I don't have a dollar figure simply because I don't know what's available out there, but obviously we're going to go for the maximum we can get. That's the goal.
So. Okay, again, this is after feedback from the executive committee, which does provide specifics now. And Ron, thank you for going back over that. I know that April and others have talked about that. So this is an action item so that Ron will know.
There's one other piece I didn't pull it up here, but the evaluation form.
The tool.